Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday, February 8th, 2011 Morro Bay City Council meeting. Let the record reflect that all members of the City Council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please rise and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Dr. Bob Swain.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. I want to welcome everybody who came down here to be with us in person, and welcome everybody at home who have chosen to take their time to watch us tonight. Also want to particularly welcome our former mayor, Janice Peters, to our meeting. With that, council members, announcements. Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I have three announcements. First is to announce and invite you all down to our next tree committee meeting, who we'll be hearing more from tomorrow. We've gone to quarterly meetings to focus on our field time and stay out of the meeting room as much as possible. So our next meeting is this Thursday, February 17th, so that's next week, from 4 to 5:30 at the community center, the little room there as you enter to your right. And welcome anyone to come out. We'll be talking about a couple of updates on some of our projects and planning some future projects as well. Also want to extend an invitation to the Teen Center meetings that have been announced. And we concluded one, or the Teen Center concluded one, organized by our Rec and Parks Department and the Teen Advisory Committee, focused on the Teen Center Master Plan that was developed in 2005. And these meetings are to receive feedback and update the community about that plan and learn about what components might really be useful going forward and what might be missing. So there's two more meetings scheduled. The next one is this next Wednesday, tomorrow, February 9th, and that's for future teens and future parents of teens. The meetings are all at Rockies, the Teen Center, over there by the high school on Atascadero Road from 6 to 8 p.m. And the second meeting coming up is the following, then Thursday, two nights from now, the 10th, and that's for all community members and neighbors of the Teen Center. So hopefully you can come out to those. The process from there will be to consolidate the feedback that's received during those meetings and then bring it to the Rec and Parks Committee and eventually all the way up to the council for discussion here. So those are two meetings that I wanted to invite you to. And then, of course, we have our JPA meeting coming up this Thursday, the 10th, 6 p.m. at the Cayucas Events Hall.
George? Nancy?
Yes. I just attended my first meeting representing the mayor on the 100-year celebration of the...
...on right now from Cayucas, and the Estero Bay Youth Coalition will be supporting. They'll be looking to council for support is stronger legislation on cyberbullying that they'll be presenting to Sam Blakesley, Senator Blakesley. So that's real encouraging. The kids are doing that. I see Mayor, former Mayor Peters is here, and I'm sure she's going to talk about the fundraiser Follies on the 25th and 26th. This Sunday, the 13th, is the Morro Bay Historical Society's every other month meeting, I believe, so try not to miss that. And I attended this the first Harbor Advisory meeting of the year. A few updates on that are that the State Park Marina dredging plans are still moving forward, and the goal is to have that project awarded by the end of June. The Rick Algert, who was a former harbor director, is working through the city and the Nature Conservancy on individual trawl quotas and the hopes of developing a community fishing association to work with the new guidelines that they're doing. One other thing that's coming up through that is what they're calling dock walkers. It's going to be through the National Estuary Program. And the dock walkers are trained to engage members of the public and the boating community in adopting clean boating practice. The training's free, and the first one will training session will be March 23rd. For more information, you can contact the National Estuary at 772-3834, extension 13.
Thank you, Carla. And if I could just expand on the National Estuary Program, especially for the commercial fishermen whom I've been hearing from, these are not enforcement people. They are strictly educational people, and they're there to assist. And please don't feel threatened by them. They're just helping us keep our bay clean. And that said, we'll open, I'm sorry, closed session report. Rob?
Yes, good evening. Prior to regular session, council met on closed session on one item, real property negotiations. The property discussed was 699 Embarcadero. The negotiating parties are Marina, Morro Bay Marina, and the City of Morro Bay. The council in closed session took action and granted the written request of Morro Bay Marina to make monthly rental payments.
Great. And now we're at the public comment period. We're going to let Dr. Bob go first. He is our business moment. It's 3 minutes, please. If the buzzer goes off, please conclude. Please state your name for the record. Dr. Bob, step right up. Introduce yourself.
Mr. Mayor, council members, and guests, I'm Dr. Robert Swain. I'm a chiropractor and a nutritional consultant. I've been doing this for 30 years in Huntington Beach. In November, I moved here to the fabulous Morro Bay to retire and enjoy the good life. Actually, my wife retired. I'm still working. I'm going to do house calls. So I figure that's a nice way to get out to people that can't get out of their homes, that they're hurt or need nutritional counseling. I'm going to do that. I was born in Beloit, Wisconsin, so Green Bay, love it. And good Super Bowl. Moved here in California in 1965 in the Huntington Beach area and been there ever since. Now I'm living in Morro Bay. Married, have 3 children, 40, 30, and 28. So I'm up there. And I really love working with people. I think it's great to get out there, see people get healthy, because a healthy life is happy lives and make you reach your goals. No matter what you want to do in life, you can't reach it if you're not healthy. So I want to see everybody reach their goals by keeping them healthy. I don't know what else to say. I was only told I was getting 30 seconds, so 3 minutes is kind of stretching it out here. So unfortunately, I don't have any jokes or anything right prepared. But I think exercise, I really emphasize exercise, nutrition, stretching. If most people in Morro Bay have pets, if you ever watch your dog, your cat, first thing it wakes up, it does stretching. And we get up, we jump and start doing our things, and we don't know why we get hurt. We need to stretch and do more exercise and keep motion. And by doing that, keep our bodies fluid in motion makes us healthy. So I would really extend everybody, you know, just get up, do exercising. We got area, I mean, great walking around here. A lot of people do walk, but we got great up and down these hills. I did it today, and like to kill me, but I did it. So exercise is fantastic, stretching. And to that, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come out here and speak to everybody. Oh, my telephone number?
Oh. Sure, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Just a new one. Give me a break. It's
good, Dr. Bob.
Get my business card out here. It's 225-11. No, it isn't either. That's our home number. I don't want to give that one out. 801-6638. That's my business phone. And so you call there, and it goes straight to my cell phone, and make an appointment. I'll come to your house, because I don't have an office as yet. I just come to your house. And thank you once again. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. I kind of felt you were channeling Jack LaLanne there for a couple of minutes. He sounded exactly like him. He was. He was a great guy. This looks like our tree committee.
Also, for City Council members Smuckler, League, Borchard, and Johnson, thank you for supporting our city's urban forests and urban gardeners. Can we come up and give you these trees?
You may. Thank you, Gorilla Gardening Club.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's a date palm?
Yes.
Doesn't look like a date palm.
Yeah.
I believe it. Thank you so much. Great. That was very nice of you. And on behalf of all the council members, we thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Rick Grantham, welcome.
Hi. So I guess I don't have to say who we are then, right?
Yes, please state
your
name.
Rick and Claire Grantham. Thank How are you? Good to see you, Mr. Mayor, council, staff, and everybody. We had the bejesus scared out of us Sunday before last. I was in my computer room and Claire was in the bedroom, and I hear her yell something, and my hearing's not what it used to be. So I said, huh? And she yelled it again, and I said, I can't hear you. And the third time she yelled, I heard there's a fire. So I got up, and our smoke alarm was going off, and I could smell smoke, couldn't tell where it was coming from. It was really intense. So we're running around trying to figure out the origin of the smoke. I find that it's our dryer. So I open up the dryer door, and here's the flames. And it was real scary. So I ran down to the garage and grabbed the fire extinguisher with one hand and the phone in the other, called 911, had the fire put out by the time the fire department arrived. But they ventilated the home and checked it to make sure it was out. And it told me that this is a very common occurrence. And I just brought this with me. It looks like an artery that needs a bypass. Now, this is 20 feet away from the dryer. This is the part that attaches to the outside of the house. So you can imagine how bad it was on the way there. But I don't know if the camera can pick this up or not, but there's a thin little hole in the middle of it with all this lint around the sides, which creates a very small opening for the exhaust. And what happened was it backed up and it lit on fire. So it's not enough just to pull out your little screen and clean that off, because a lot of stuff bypasses that screen and accumulates over time. And we talked about it, and we've been telling everybody we know, don't leave your dryer on, don't at your house when you're not home, don't set it, go do your errands and come back and think you're going to fold your clothes, because this is the kind of thing that could happen. We were told that if we weren't there, our house would have burned down. So aside from just telling everybody we know about this experience, I thought, let's use this medium. There may be folks at home that aren't aware that they might have this problem, but it exists in every home to a certain extent. Of course, the longer, it's probably been 30 years since ours is cleaned out. I called a chimney guy today, and the chimney guy came out and cleaned it all out, because we're having a new dryer delivered Friday, so we're trying to get everything ready. Anyway, it is a problem and a hazard that lurks in every home, so please be aware that this happens a lot. Keep in mind that it's not enough just to clean that little thing. Pull your dryer out, take the thing off, and take a look. Get a flashlight and look. Make sure that your smoke alarm works and that you can hear it from where you are. When I was in the computer room, we just got a new computer, and I was playing a golf game, and it was kind of loud. I couldn't hear that smoke alarm going off. So you need to make sure that, you know, when you test your smoke alarm, sit where you usually do. If your TV's on, turn it on. And make sure you can still hear the alarm over all the ambient noise that might be happening.
Thank you, Rick. Forgive me for cutting you off. But
oh, is it 3 minutes already?
The buzzer went off.
Sorry.
It's okay. The community forgives you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Can AGP come out and give a hand with the projector, please?
My sister works for Southern California Gas Company, and what Rick said, that is so commonplace. And it's when you pull your screen out also, if you take a little hose, vacuum hose, get down under there, because that can catch fire. But she tells me about these stories, so, okay, mine's always clean because she lives there, but anyway, I wanted to thank the young men with Taylor, by the way. They're great movers. They just helped me move some stuff over to a veteran today that was homeless, and then he got into VASH, which is it's veterans housing. Anyway, so they're pretty good movers, just in case you want to know, but they're really expensive. Free. I did say free, Taylor. Anyway, we had a great turnout last month for the veterans group up here at the free forums there. Plus, we're going to give additional information. So it's working really well. And there was one other thing, if I have time to slip. This is an energy conservation service. So many people don't know about this, but because we have a senior community, and this is one thing I ran across researching, plus my sister gave this to me. They come out with home weathers. Okay, say the word, weathers. Okay, you got it. Anyway, home repair services. They build the ramp. They do utility assistance, carbon monoxide testing, water heat water heater replacement. These are all services for free. All you have to do is meet a certain income, and it's not even an age qualification. It's an income qualification. So you can get these services free. The trouble is most people don't know about them, and that's a sad fact. And it's the same way with my veterans. They deserve so much, and they've earned so much, but if you don't know about it, what are you going to do? So I'm going to have these in the back. I'm building a website for my veterans this week, and I'm going to have that up there. But it's CAPSLOW. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bridget, could you turn the light? Bridget, turn the light so they can. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Dore. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. Changes here. While watching live and rebroadcast city meetings, I noticed some conflicting procedural actions at the January 11th and the 25th meetings. On January 11th, the agenda item of concern is CS2, meaning closed session 2, and on January 25th, it is the agenda item D1. Both appear to relate to lease negotiations with harbor leaseholders, which resulted in extending a 2010 policy to allow harbor lease payments to the city on a quarterly basis rather than annually. According to the January 25th meeting minutes, agenda item D1, council member League stepped down due to a conflict of interest, close quote. However, according to the January 11th minutes, council member League appears to have participated in the closed session meeting of the city council relating to the same issue, instructing city's real property negotiator regarding harbor lease terms and conditions. There is no reference to Councilmember League stepping down at the January 11th closed session. Additionally, at the January 25th meeting, during the discussion of agenda item D1, Councilmember Borchard stated that, quote, when Mr. League was discussing this in closed session, close quote, basically he said he was unaware of the quarterly lease payment option. This seems to imply that he actually, Councilmember League actually participated in the January 11th closed session meeting. The January 25th meeting specifically connects D1 to the CS2 agenda item on January 11th. It's on page 7. I won't read it again. Not again, but it's in your minutes. Councilmember League appears to have participated in a closed session directing staff on harbor lease negotiations, but later declared a conflict of interest when the public consideration and vote took place on the same issue. Did Councilmember League have a conflict of interest on January 11th? Is my main question. If League did, can he and the public be protected from similar conflicts in the future? Is a conflict of interest workshop needed for new mayor, council members, and commissioners so this doesn't happen, so everybody understands where conflicts of interest can arise? And ultimately, would such a January 11th conflict of interest affect the January 5th decision on D1 affecting the quarterly payments from Harbor Lessees to the city? And it seems you had another closed session tonight which discussed the same thing, monthly versus quarterly payments of leases to the harbor from the Tidelands funds that are made by the lessees. I just really have concerns about this and think it's a critical structural issue for the city. I like this Monterey Cypress, and I think it's great at once.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask the city attorney to address your comments at the end. Come up, Betty. Pardon me? There you go. Thanks. Good evening.
My name is Betty Winholtz. My comment is in regard to your new business item, D4. Options for amending parking requirements, for North Morro Bay. While the title of the item D4 does not distinguish between commercial and residential parking requirements, the written discussion implies this item is limited to business parking requirements on North Main Street. Status of parking, addressing buildings where the number of stalls is unconforming to today's standards. I found no statistics in the information provided regarding the status of parking or the number of buildings whose parking stalls are in nonconformance. Therefore, it is difficult to judge whether there is even a need for this proposed change. The report talks about conversions from one use to another, but it does not address new development. Yet there are two relatively large empty corner lots that are ripe for new development, as well as the Texaco property. New development needs to be considered here as well. Due to the potential impact on residential streets and circulation and the lack of statistical information regarding the current situation and potential needs, there is no way to make a considered choice among the possible solutions at this time. Either data collection needs to be done first, or this item should fall in line behind other more important planning issues, such as the sign ordinance and the general plan update.
Thank you, Betty. Come up. Mayor, welcome.
Hello, I'm Janice Peters, and obviously former council members don't fade away. We've all been here tonight. I'm here about the fundraiser Follies.
AGP, please. Oh, there she is.
It's our fourth annual fundraiser Follies. This one, our theme is Divas and Crooners, and we've got some tremendous performers lined up, including Hank Roth, Camille Watkins, Gary Ryan, Jill Garcia, Jenny Brantley, Mel Brines, Don Doubledy, Marty Lindholm, Jesse Aston, and Neil Farrell, plus myself. We have refreshments are going to be provided again by Noah and Carla and Full of Life Flatbreads, which provides the pizza bases. And Morabe Seniors are baking cookies. And there was a misprint in the article in the paper. Our tickets have gone up this year. We kept them at $10 as long as we could. Our expenses have gone up, so they are $15 this year for adults, but they remain $5 only for students with ID. So that means even college students, if you've got an ID, it's only $5. So we hope we'll see you all there. It's on Friday and Saturday, February 25th and 26th. I'll be back again at your next meeting to talk about it again. But hope you can all come. It's going to be a lot of fun, and good to see you all.
Thank you, Janice. Pleasure to have you here. Who would like to go next? Andrea?
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. It's good to see you guys. My name is Andrea Klipfel. I'm with Edward Jones. I am also the local event chair for the Relay for Life, American Cancer Society Morro Bay Relay, which supports fundraising for research and services for cancer patients in our city and in our county. I'm here tonight to talk about our team fundraiser for Relay for Life, which is going to be a Bunko Against Cancer. We did this last year. It was highly successful. We co-sponsor it with the Morro Bay Rotary. And so what we'd like to do is invite all of you, as well as the rest of the community, to join us. 50% of the funds raised go to the winners. It's $20 to participate. It's going to be on March 16th to 6 o'clock. It's going to be over at St. Tim's in their big room. That'll be March 16th. And in addition to that, we also have our community kickoff the following week on March 24th. That's going to be up at Embarcadero Grill upstairs, 6 p.m. So we want everyone to come to that and learn a lot more about how they can participate in the local relay. To Dr. Bob there, if you're interested in exercise, first weekend of August, you can come out and walk around the track at Morro Bay High for 24 hours. So we have plenty of exercise opportunity for you there. Thank you very much for the opportunity this evening, and we hope to see everybody out at our Bunko and at the relay in August. Thank you.
Thanks for coming down, Andrea. Good evening. Welcome.
Welcome. Richard Margetson. At your last council meeting, you had an agenda item dealing with the potential or possible removal of all the planning commissioners. After you had your discussion, you did not take public comment. First of all, I would like to know why the policy is that you do not take public comment on agenda items when the spirit of the Brown Act is that you're to take public comment when it's appropriate and timely on an agenda item, so you do not deprive the public of all the information available when they give their public comment. You have public comment at the beginning of your meetings, and my understanding is that the policy in the past has been that was your time to talk on agenda items unless it was a hearing. Recently, though, your JPA changed their policy that they will now take public comment, both the Cayucas when they host it and when Morro Bay hosts it, will take public comment on all agenda items, inclusive, and it's going to be transparent. You need to take public comment on every agenda item. I'm hoping you make the change, and this doesn't get away from you, because this was a violation at your last meeting, and I don't want to go any further with this. And your council yesterday at the Planning Commission meeting had a very informative Brown Act presentation. Maybe that presentation should be done here again at the City Council. That's all I have at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Markinson. We'll address your comments at the end. Who would like to go next? Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? Rob, I'll take Mr. Markinson after you take Ms. Dorn. Is that your name? Dorr. Sorry, I do know that. I'm sorry. If you could address her on the George League issues.
Sure. I'll begin by saying that I represent the city. I don't represent individual council members as the city attorney's office. I'm also not an expert in the FPCC regulations, but I have looked into this matter, and the matter dealt with the change from quarterly monthly payments to monthly quarterly payments, and I have issued an opinion that there would not have been a material financial impact on council member League by these decisions that have been made. That doesn't mean that future decisions that are going to come in front of them that have to do with other lease negotiations won't create a conflict, but in this situation, I found that it did not. I certainly believe that more training is necessary under 1234, AB 1234. They are required, council members, to do a two-hour training session. I have contacted someone from the Fair Political Practice Commission. We did have someone come out many years ago and give a presentation on all the legal requirements. But as to what occurred on the 11th, 25th, and tonight dealing with the change from quarterly to monthly payment, I've determined that that wouldn't create a material financial impact. It wasn't in regard to doing reappraisals. It wasn't in regard to rent reductions or any of the other ones that are listed under the FPC sections of the legal requirements. And so for the time being, we're safe, but we'll come across this issue, I think, many times because Council Member League is a leaseholder for the city.
I will say that this council, I believe all previous councils, and I first came on council in 1992, so as long as I've been involved with this city council, to a person, we have all been aware of the Brown Act and conflict of interest and ethics, and I've never known anybody to ignore it. You know, we've got Rob there, who's like this eagle. He's circling over us all the time. He's watching our emails. He's watching our conversations. You can't do that, you know. Plus, we have our own integrity and our own knowledge of it. And I will say to a person in that almost 20 years, we have all followed it to the best of our very, very best of our ability. Now I'm going to address Mr. Markinson. First, I'll address the apparent double standard between Cayucas and Morro Bay. Cayucas does do the public comment in front of each item for consistency reasons. For the JPA meetings, we have gone to that. It certainly was problematical that when the meetings were held in Cayucas and public comment was allowed, and then they were held in Morro Bay and it wasn't allowed, it was a problem. And so that problem has been solved by Morro Bay going along with it. And at JPA meetings, regardless of where they're held, we have public comment in front of each item. Regarding how Morro Bay operates, this is, has always been, you know, again, my history here has been the mood of this community. And if the mood of the community is to change it, it will change it. But I don't hear it from anybody in this community. Actually, I hear the reverse. People like it at 6 o'clock. They like coming down, making their comments, and going home. Generally, at the end of the meeting, there's nobody left here. I will take exception respectfully with you, Mr. Markinson, when you spoke up and said, you know, public comment. True, we don't have it anyway. But when you said that, it was after the vote was taken. It was after the fact. There was no input we could have taken. It was, well, I invite you to check the tape on that. But unless we hear from our community that they want this change, or I hear from a fellow council member or somebody who wants to discuss it, or if it comes up within our community, then we'll take a look at it. But until then, I'm satisfied that the community is satisfied with the way it's being handled. Does anybody want to say anything on any matter? Okay, then we'll move to the consent calendar. Would any member like, oh, before I do that, I didn't do my thanks, and I apologize for that. Dr. Bob, we want to thank you for coming down tonight and introducing yourself. It's good to see you again in the Gorilla.
Just for looking for consistency, in the last 2 years, we haven't sent the mayor or any other council member to represent us in any risk management issues. And for the consistency factor, I would just rather leave it with our risk manager, who's our city attorney, Mr. Schultz, and is knows how these issues work, rather than changing it potentially every 2 years or 4 years or whatever. So that's why I hold that.
Let's ask, I have no problem not being this delegate. I don't know how this happened.
Yeah,
let's find out how this happened. Who did this report? I'm sorry to put you in the spot, Bridget.
That's quite all right. Previously, it was Mayor Peters who was the designee for the city. However, generally, I believe if there were any meetings, either the city manager or the city attorney would attend in her place. So I just took it from the last.
Well, that's consistent. That's great.
The last report. So.
But you want to take me out. I don't care about going to these meetings.
I guess it was because in the last 2 years that I've been here, she's never attended or participated in. Our risk manager, who is our city attorney, is always taking care of
it. Let's ask her. Did you ever attend any meetings? No. Nope.
It's a formality, if anything.
Yeah. So I don't care.
I think Ms. Borchard's comments and suggestion is good, particularly because of turnover. And if we do have questions in the risk management area, we're going to be turning to our city attorney anyway. So this makes it cleaner and more consistent.
Is there a problem?
I just want to make sure. Well, actually, in Resolution 38-03, that's attached to the staff report, Section 1, it does say that the mayor of the city of Morro Bay is hereby authorized and directed to execute the JPA agreement on behalf of the city, binding the member to the terms and conditions. I guess that just says that that's the agreement. It says nothing.
Well, I guess I'm the signer.
Yeah, it says nothing about being the designee.
The designee. Yeah. So it's up to you.
Does it matter? No, I'm asking this to Carla.
Oh, no. I just, you know, I mean, I think it's two separate things. You sign all the stuff as the mayor, but I guess.
I mean, do you, if it matters to you guys, let's just take me out of this thing. Let's just appoint the Andrea and Robert, Robert Schultz as the alternate. I know it's Bob. I'm not used to seeing Robert. Is there a problem with that, Bob? Rob?
Okay. No, I don't believe so. You know, my only concern was if it actually has to be an elected position, but I cannot remember. I cannot remember if it was. So why don't you just appoint the city manager and the city attorney as the two, and if it needs to come back to you, then we'll do it. But I don't think it has to be an elected official, because there's many times I've been to them where there hasn't been an elected official.
So make the motion one way or the other.
Okay, so I'll move to make the change to be the city manager and or city attorney as the designee.
Second.
Give the second to Nancy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0-D1. Mr. Smuckler.
Thank you. Excuse me a moment while I stand here and break a couple of formal attire rules and But I did want to stand with the tree committee on this and just thank them for their work and actually very quickly turn this over to them, which is a presentation and of the formal recognition of the official city tree for Morro Bay and the polling results and review of the process for accomplishing those results. So I'd like to turn it over to them to introduce themselves and present the tree.
Welcome, Tree Committee.
Hi, I'm Ann Reisner, the immediate past president of Morro Bay Beautiful.
Hello, I'm Taylor Newton, citizen of Morro Bay, business owner and member of the City Tree Committee. And I own a business called Newton Cultivation, which is a nursery and urban farm. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Sean Ellis, Coastal Tree Experts. I've lived in Morro Bay since 83, and I've done tree work here for 20 years.
I'm Wally McRae. I'm a landscape architect by profession, and my credentials are that I'm an American Society of Landscape Architects, and I've been in national parks for 20 years designing national parks, and I've also designing in the Forest Service for 20 years, and I've been a private consultant for 10 years. What is the official tree? That's it.
That's it. Okay. If you have any questions.
Is there any questions about a Monterey cypress?
Any questions? Any questions? No. We love the Monterey cypress. We're so glad it's our city tree.
Here's a photo over here of one of our, probably my favorite cypress in town, and it's right on the bluff on the end of Dune Street, just above the surf shop and Giovanni's Fish Market. I go over there every year and prune it for free just to make sure no one messes it up and just do a light prune job. But it's a great tree, and it has that windswept look to it. And if my advice, though, to anyone who wants to plant a tree, I will give free advice before they plant a tree, because there's some trees that shouldn't be planted in certain places. But I'm happy this is a city tree now that everyone enjoys.
Great. Sean, thank you. Anything else? Back to you.
That's a nice smell, too.
All right, thank you so much, Morro Bay Tree Committee, for your work on this. I would like to briefly recognize three other members of the Tree Committee that do attend our meetings and have actively participated. But as with all the Tree Committee, they are volunteers and have active businesses and families. So Melinda Elster has been very active, Gabriel Frank, Gardens by Gabriel, and Corey Paul with CP Landscapes. They're all out with the family doing business stuff tonight. Other key partners, Tulsa Press, of course, for the voting and the ballot in the Bay News, and Morro Bay Beautiful, which has helped us quite a bit. So with that, I'd just like to say that with our votes, I would like to have the final tally and breakdown included in the resolution. I think it's important that every one of the trees received a significant number of votes, and overall the response was of great enthusiasm by the community, showing just how much trees mean to us, and that every one of these trees and others that were included in the write-in resonate with members of our community. And I think that was a really exciting part of this whole voting process, and look forward to celebrating the cypress as well as these trees as we go forward. So I would like to move that we accept these results as presented to identify the Monterey cypress as our city tree for Morro Bay, that we direct staff to bring back a resolution based on our staff report and presentation tonight, and that we formally recognize the tree and go forward with that resolution.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Good job, Noah. Good job, Tree Committee.
It's nice to have a city tree to go with our beautiful city flower. Thank you, gentlemen, and Anne, for all your hard work.
Nothing? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0, and we'll ask Bridget to include the voting results in the resolution, if she'd be so kind. Thank you again, Tree Committee, for all your efforts on this. I'm going to need a break in the next few minutes, so I'm going to, if it's okay with you guys, if it's splitting up the budget, we'll go ahead and hear from Measure Q, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back for mid-year budget if that works for everybody else. So, Susan, D2.
Good evening, Mayor Yates and council members. My report that I gave, that I provided you with, is pretty concise, so I won't regurgitate all of the facts for that one. But I do want to emphasize the money that we do have, that it's been dedicated to projects. It is a lot. There is a lot of money that's being held on to. But then again, we have projects that are going to require a lot of money. So it's very important to keep the allocations where they are and make sure that we're always budgeting the full amount of the money that we have. And I'll turn it over to the Measure Q Committee representative.
Here we go. Welcome. Thank you for coming down. Thank you, Homer, for coming down and being here tonight.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Barbara Spagnola. I'm representing the Measure Q Oversight Committee this evening. On December 8th, 2010, the Oversight Committee held a public meeting at the Community Center and reviewed all the transactions in the Measure Q Fund. What I'm going to follow with is a summary of our findings. In the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2010, the District Transaction Tax Fund received $711,000 in revenue from taxes, interest, investment gains. Expenditures and transfers were $498,000. The ending fund balance as of June 30th, 2010 was $988,000. Individual departments spent their budgeted Measure Q funds, unspent personnel costs, wages, benefits, etc., and therefore this $42,000 carryover should be transferred to the unallocated and rebudgeted in the next fiscal year, 2011-2012. In 2009-2010 and again in the 2010-11 fiscal year, the fire department has budgeted $168,000 each year for debt service for the yet-to-be-built administrative living quarters addition to the new fire station. We did not object to the expense. However, we, the committee, feel that since there is no loan in place, that line item description be changed to something that more clearly defines why the fire department will have accrued $336,000 by the end of this fiscal year. That's what you were mentioning before me. Thank you. So that was the recommendation that the committee had specifically for the fire department. Expenditures. Streets, the biggest portion of the street department expenditures were spent on the roundabout and related repaving on Morro Bay Boulevard. Measure Q funds were used to level out a number of sidewalks throughout the town. Storm drains, again, largest expense was related to the work that was done to the utilities under the roundabout. Major storm drain at the intersection of Sunset and Main was also replaced. We spent the majority of our meeting back in December discussing the balance in the fund. The carryover amount of unspent money in the fund when added to this year's budget is over $1.5 million. So the committee's concern relative to that is that the citizens voted to increase their taxes to see improvements in the city, and they would like to see some tangible results. There are a number of reasons why this money has been accumulating, some of which are obviously out of the city's control. Mr. Livick explained to the committee that street repaving was so expensive he needed to accrue several years' worth of allocations just to do a single project. Understood. The new addition to the fire department is being delayed by a backlog of requests at FEMA overseeing some of the grant money. Regardless of the reasons for these delays, it was agreed that staff needs to do a better job of communicating to the public about plans to spend the money. And to improve these communications, some of the actions that we discussed and the staff expects to take are, number one, erecting simple portable signs at any public works project where Measure Q funds are being expended, reading something like your half cent Measure Q sales tax dollar at work. This spring, the Public Service Director is going to present the pavement management plan to the Public Works Advisory Board and City Council. This plan will detail what street, gutter, sidewalk repair replacements will take place in the future. This information will be well circulated. The committee recommended that the staff consider putting out several permanent signs in locations that are to be affected within a couple years that might, again, note something like your half-cent measure tax dollars will pay for repaving the street in the summer of 2012 or whenever. Just a little advance notice to the public. Finally, we recommend future budgets. The City Council not only asked the staff to be specific about the planned uses of the Measure Q funds, but also to have the staff provide their best estimate of a time frame when that money for the projects will actually be spent. Thank you for allowing me to present the committee's findings, and if you have any comments or questions, we'll answer them tonight or in the future.
Before you go, let's see if there are any questions. Carla? Nancy?
Not questions in particular, but I was really impressed with the ideas about putting up the signs that say your Measure Q money at work or your Measure Q money will be used in the year 2012 to resurface these streets. I think that's something that definitely needs to go forward so people can see what's going on. Thank you for all your effort.
No, thank you. That's not an original idea. We just see it on freeways and everywhere. But if people are going to be inconvenienced, why not let them know that this is why you're inconvenienced and here's the anticipated benefit?
Don't forget to put the mayor's name in big letters on the sign. That's a joke. I don't want my name in the signs. So it's a joke. George? Noah? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We may call you back, but I think
good. I'll be here. Thank you.
Well, I think there's some solid suggestions in there. How do we proceed in this? Do you want a motion?
I have a question.
Okay.
To the presentation here, we can, if we want to take some of the recommendations or thoughts out of their presentation into our discussion in the next item, we're going to be able to do that. No
absolutely.
Problem. Okay. That was
and that might be that might be more appropriate. I mean, because there are some things in the next one that clearly overlap with Measure Q, so that's absolutely fine.
Okay, great.
George, anything? Nancy? All in one ball of wax there. How do you guys feel about that?
I agree because yes. It also includes listing that fire debt service money and stuff, so it's designated more specific, the carryover.
So do we need formal action in this, Rob? Okay, then who wants to craft a? Go ahead, go for it. You want me to do it? Okay, then I'll move that we accept the recommendations of the Measure Q Tax Oversight Committee and that we direct staff to. Implement the recommendations as stated in their report.
Second for discussion. Only addition is I would think that an informational kiosk at the most appropriate place that shows existing projects that are occurring or have recently occurred and potential new projects so that people are able to actually see them all at one place might be very helpful to also get the word out about the projects, the time frames, their cost, and where the money's coming from.
Where?
Well, I would leave that up to staff, but I was thinking either City Hall, Public Services might be two really good places, or Parks and Rec, wherever there's space. And I understand, you know, developing a little kiosk might take some time, but it could be very simple, and I think it would help communicate to the public, hey, these are the things we have going on. And a lot of time we're aware of the different projects and the improvements, but to actually see it all in one place is something that I've noticed in other communities is really effective and gives you a chance to reflect on those improvements in a good way.
And then let me amend my motion because I like the idea, and I'm just going to assume here that Measure Q likes the idea, but I shouldn't speak for you, and I apologize for that. That we add into my motion that we're directing staff to develop an informational kiosk and to bring recommendations back to council.
I withdraw my first and second this next motion.
The second?
Yes.
Second. The second. Any discussion on this?
I have a question.
Shoot.
You're not saying in place of the signs that they would put around town.
No.
I think those that is in addition to.
Yep.
In addition to, and I would even suggest that it doesn't necessarily have to be entirely related to Measure Q. An example would be the North Main improvements on the pavement there.
We could add in the bike committee recommendations and all kinds of things in there. No, not in the motion.
When
they build their kiosks.
The motion's Measure Q. When we bring it back for discussion,
yeah,
we'll
better
see
be
about
Measure
adding
Q
stuff.
Stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Everybody okay?
We're okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. 10-minute break, and we'll be back. We're on the last page.
$65,513 was identified as extra money in the reserve. The largest portion of the reserve requests that I've listed is for $100,000 to be used by the Recreation and Parks Department for replacing older refrigerators, air conditioning, and heating units with newer, more energy-efficient ones and some other energy-saving projects. The California Energy Commission awarded us a grant of $55,000 and offered a low-interest loan program for us to finish our projects that we agreed to move forward with. What we didn't know was that the loan was being funded by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, better known as ARRA. This small amount of money would require an inordinate amount of staff time to manage. ARRA has a Buy American requirement, which is wonderful, but it would change the cost estimates for our projects. We wouldn't be able to do as much with this constraint in place. Based on that, we decided to forego the ARRA money and ask council to lend the money to ourselves. Our maintenance superintendent, Mike Wilcox, has developed a payback estimate where the funds would be paid back in 8 years. What we propose to do is borrow the money from the reserve. If the general fund reserve is not approved for this use, these projects will have to be fit year end. And we would only take what we needed to balance the revenues to the expenditures. The transit fund has no excess cash. If the use of reserves is not approved, Ms. Burlingame will move forward with her service survey, and we will also begin the process of reviewing service cuts. However, staff is asking that council approve the change in the call a ride service to open it up for all riders to at least help to offset some of the shortage. The police department requests for $9,000 to replace their expiring level 3 high-risk ballistic vests could also be funded from Measure Q money. I did ask for it to come from reserves, but there is some unencumbered Measure Q money. Measure Q does have an unallocated cash balance of $58,000, and this would be an appropriate use of Measure Q if council does not want to use reserves. Finally, staff is asking for $8,500 for two staff members and five planning commissioners to attend the city's Planning Institute in Pasadena. If this is not approved for use of reserves, there is no money for this expenditure, and the attendance at this will not occur. The other two requests for new money, not from reserves, are the $38,000 from Measure Q for the 12-lead ECG machines and the $7,000 for the Harbor Department.
Fire Chief Mike Pond needs to replace his 11-year-old three lead units, and this is an opportunity to do so at a 20% discount. I'm always looking for discounts, so I thought this was really a pretty good time to do this. It is an appropriate use of the unallocated Measure Q cash. The $7,000 for the Harbor Department is for watercraft insurance for the first half of the 2011 calendar year. The insurance was paid for out of risk management previously, so the Harbor Department never had it in its budget to allocate. This was not accurate. It should have been either paid for by risk management and then funded by Harbor. At any rate, the Harbor Fund wasn't aware of it. Harbor does have money in its accumulation fund that it can access if needed, but they said that they would choose to try to fit it into their operating budget as it exists. And this ends my presentation. Mary Yates, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I wonder if there'll be any questions. We'll start with Carla this time.
I'm going to defer down to the other end and let Councilmember Smuckler start if you want, because I unfortunately was still highlighting my notes.
Mr. Smuckler.
Oh, thank you. Ms. Slayton just did answer one of my questions about the fire department's request and whether that was compatible with Measure Q. So that was one of my questions. The other question has to do with the wastewater treatment plant, earthquake and flood insurance. It's page 26 of 32 in the enterprise funds. And just noticing it's number 6499. And just noticing the 154% increase in our costs there, and was wondering if that is a trend that we're going to be seeing, and perhaps getting a little background on that increase.
Thank you. For the wastewater treatment plant, earthquake and flood insurance, that is actually an additional amount of insurance. Back when Bonnie Conley was with the Cayuga Sanitary District, she contacted us and said, for the 2005 fiscal year, we didn't charge her for insurance. Didn't we have any that year? So we scrambled around and looked, and sure enough, no one had properly coded the insurance bill to the wastewater treatment plant. This particular charge is the normal bill for the wastewater treatment plant plus an additional 80 something thousand from 2005 that needs to be paid. So it's actually more than what would normally have gone through. Our earthquake and flood insurance has dropped a little bit, and it's still very expensive, but it has dropped a little bit. This looks like it went up, you know, very high, but that's only because there's an extra piece in there.
So we could expect just for next year, we could expect the $163,000 approximately to be our number for the insurance.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Infrastructure. Failing roofs, failing external paint, a lot of building envelope things. We've got sewer laterals and so forth, tangible building systems that need to be upgraded and maintained. Staff doesn't feel that the energy efficiency project is really categorized as deferred maintenance. And I feel that deferred maintenance account should be intact and applied to the issues that we had outlined in Exhibit A, which we prioritized A, B, and C. Now, we realize that A, B, and C is going to fluctuate as A becomes completed and we go into the B sections. They become A, and then maybe we review the Bs and the Cs, and we redevelop the list as we go through the budget cycle. So as far as bringing some of this project into deferred maintenance, I think that we would want to keep them separate. I think that the payback is a real payback in 8 years. We'll probably be realizing that payback a lot sooner. And the complications with the ARRA money and the staff intensity of reporting is incredible. And we've experienced that with the $55,000 grant that we received, and we're putting that into place. When we thought we would outsource some of the light installations, we've not been able to because they are U.S.-made products. And when it comes down to are they or aren't they not, the price actually goes up. So we increased quite a bit, a few cents per lamp, so we're installing those all in-house. So there are a lot of complications when it comes to the RM money. The reporting goes to every month. There's a report due. Every quarter there's a report due, annual report due, and there's also reports that are due 2 and 3 years after the program's been complete. So we, quite frankly, could have reporting obligations for 10 years or plus. So we feel that pulling that out of a loan situation and bringing it into an in-house loan is more applicable. It's certainly more manageable for staff, and we feel that our obligations back to the general fund reserve could be met within 8 years.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying there, and definitely realize that the ERA is not the way to go with this small of a request. I guess I'm thinking borrowing against the deferred maintenance account or adjusting that to utilize this sort of a return or a clear return on the investment and loan the money from that account and consider even further use of that account for this sort of a need was an option. I was wondering if you felt would be workable if we structured it slightly differently and brought it back for more discussion.
It's an interesting concept to go into the deferred maintenance account. I think if you took out the $100,000 and reallocated it to the energy efficiency program, you would not get the payback in time to fulfill your obligations for the deferred maintenance, particularly when we look at just the priority A, which is a major, basically re-roofing of a majority of the facilities. It's about $120,000. And section B, priority B, if you will, it's about $46,000. So we're getting close to the $2,000 mark, which we have as $201 allocated in the resolution. So I think that it's a real tough sell to get that money out of the deferred maintenance and then into a program that you're going to have cost savings up to, you know, you're going to realize these not the first year. We're still going to be budgeting our next year's utility costs the same rate. The big savings we won't see until year two, where we can actually reduce, or in this case, if it was general fund reserve, that money's back over to the reserve and not in the operating budget. So that kind of transfer I don't think is going to be as liquid and as approachable into the deferred maintenance than it is into the reserve account.
So if we do want to avoid using the reserve, one option, though, and this is something that the department could do, would be actually break up some of those investments into the energy efficiency units to work with the existing accumulation funds for maintenance and actually accomplish it a little more piecemeal, not in the big shot like you're requesting, but still be able to accomplish it and respect the, if we do want to go there, respect the wish to avoid the emergency reserve.
I think if you restructured it, you could. You could certainly take reallocate the monies in the deferred maintenance account from its resolution. We'd have to amend resolution 10-11 and go into that money. But I think that it's a slippery slope, and you'd have to have future contributions either from the sale, the pending sale of not the pending sale, but the sales of 781 Market Street. There's 3, 4, 5% payments, interest payments that are coming up in the next 2 or 3 years. There's a lump sum payment that's at the end of that agreement. Those monies have not been allocated, and if council was to direct...
I wonder if you could comment on that. I just find myself not as comfortable as you might expect from the staff report, looking at numbers like that and wondering how we're going to get to our final projections.
Thank you for your question. The TOT numbers are performing almost identically to last year, and we did well. We ended the year with $1,825,000. TOT is coming back. It's coming back very slowly.
sales tax numbers are coming back. Again, they're coming back very slowly. We've been very, very fortunate with our property taxes. Morro Bay's uniqueness has helped us in every step of the way with this economic downturn. We don't have big box stores. We don't have car dealers. So our sales taxes, the ripple we saw in sales taxes was very small compared to what everybody else felt. Property taxes, our property taxes did not go down. Everywhere else in the county, they went down. Ours had a little teeny tiny hiccup, and that was it. We lost $3,000 in our property taxes. This is nothing compared to some of the cities in the county that lost, phenomenally. Grover Beach, really seriously suffering with the readjustments that were made by the property tax assessor for values. So those are our primary core revenues, and we're doing well with them. They're starting to climb. They're not really going anywhere. So it's not as if I can say that at the end of the year we're going to have a boom in TOT, because I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing our TOT performing exactly like it did last year, which means that things are coming back. I'm seeing our sales tax performing pretty darn close to last year. So I don't see where we're going to have any excess money, because we didn't have any at the end of last year. And that's why I'm looking at the reserves. I believe that we are going to meet our revenues are going to meet our expenditures this year in the general fund. We'll be on target, but we don't have any extra money to cover any of the things that I brought forward.
Amigo, you want to? Okay, I'm going to just try and direct the conversation if we could. I think first we need a philosophical conversation, hopefully not too long, about whether we want to violate reserves or not. And this is the main thing I've been, not the individuals as much as this, I've been struggling with for the last few days. Susan and I talked at length about it today. And I guess I've come to the point where we have the 27.5% locked in, and this is extra reserves, and it's over and above what we're saving. And I've come to the point, and it was only a few hours ago probably, where I'm okay with violating that, because we're not violating the 27.5%. So then it comes down to the next one, which is Joe's, the $100,000. I will say right now I am not in favor of taking the deferred maintenance or borrowing against it, or any of the things that you proposed. I think that money should stay sacred, and Joe needs to get on with his work and not worry about losing money from it. So that's how I feel on that. Personally, I think this loan is a bunch of hocus pocus. I think if we're going to do it, give them the $100,000, get the new refrigeration equipment and stuff, and we get the savings for the next forever down the road. You know, paying back, I mean, what are we paying back? It's just, it's all, I don't know what you'd call it. It just seems a little weird that we borrow $100,000 and then we pay it back with energy savings. And I know in Sue's mind and Joe's mind it's real money, because it has to be allocated in the budget. But it's taking it and just putting it there. It's not income, it's not expense, it's... You know, if we're going to do it, and I'm not saying I'm for this entirely, but I'd like to hear from you guys, and just, you know, let's just violate the 165 and, you know, take the $100,000 and do it. The police department, I mean, obviously we want the best equipped public safety departments we can have, and we cannot refuse their vests, but I think the Measure Q funds is a logical place for that to come. If we add that plus the fire department, we still are under what our unallocated funds are in Measure Q, so I would be...
Could walk down from North Morro Bay to a fixed route stop, but not walk back up. They're just not using anything. Mm-hmm. So her thing is that maybe by just saying that call a ride will be available to everybody, some of those people that used to use dial a ride will now start using it again. And so there will be a little bit more money coming into the mix.
Well, I guess I would be in favor of that. That would have to be something we'd bring back. We can't decide that tonight. But, I mean, kind of based on the messages we're getting from Janine through Susan, I would support that. And, you know, seeing where we end up at the end here, rather than take the $21,500 out and transfer it into the transit fund, I would support expanding the Call-A-Ride program if it will indeed bring in more money, and forgive Janine kind of in advance if she goes over budget, because I think we're setting her up here maybe to go over budget, and I think that's what she's trying to protect herself from here too, is just being open that this could happen. So that's where I would be on that, probably denying the 21.5 out of reserves and seeing if there's support, if I can do that, to bring Call-A-Ride back. Can I do that, Rob, tonight? Yeah, good. The fire department, that's $38,000 for Measure Q. I think that what I thought of there was, boy, the defib machines, $19,000 for one. It's like, whoa, the fire department equipment is really expensive. But saves lives, and that's Measure Q, so that's cool. The harbor department, I see, is just a line item transfer. It's not necessarily real money. So that's where I'm at on that, and I just, if we could just run through these things together, and I don't know where to start. Who wants to speak first? All right, Carla?
Well, I would support the fire request through the unallocated funds, the 31,147 that was left, and the other 7,000 coming from the unallocated at the bottom too. I'm supportive of that, and the 9,000 for the police department from the unallocated Measure Q. Both of those seem appropriate uses of that money, as has been for public safety. The harbor $7,000, I'm not going to sit here and talk all night when we're talking about millions of dollars budget, about $7,000, but I think it's going to beg a whole conversation about money that I feel has not been allocated since the last harbor director left, and the way that the budget was set up from last year, it's left a big amount of money kind of looming in there, and I think we'll have to address that as we get to closer to budget workshops or however we're going to work through that. I'm frustrated with the transit because I know the state's cut all the funding, and we are trying to find a way to pay for it, but it's got to come from general fund. As long as we keep doing is transferring money in and transferring money in and transferring money in, and I do believe that the call a ride also extends to students K through 12. So I don't know how much more. You can expand it some more, but it's still not going to cover it. I think it's a bigger problem. We need to fund it, but we've had this conversation over the last year or two as the state has cut all the funding for this, and I feel that those issues have not been addressed in providing opportunities for other alternate ride options for transit and moving our transit department over the community center and streamlining some of those processes, which should save us some money. So I'd rather see that come from the general fund, recognizing that, yes, then she's going to be over budget, but we just keep transferring it. For me, the $100,000, I think energy savings is great. We asked for the audit. It's been a year process. I'm not really prepared to take money from our reserve account to use to fund it. I'd rather wait till, for me, it's a capital budget item. Somehow it needs to be worked out, whether we divide it up or whatever, but I just read an article in the LA Times today about how easy it is addressing this exact issue of spending your emergency reserves in an economic downturn. It's just too easy to do all the time, and I just don't want to go down that path. So those are my comments.
Okay, and I'm just going to interject here, Nancy, with your permission, that this is not a part of emergency reserves, what we're talking about. This is over our emergency reserves. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
And I'm aware of that.
Okay. Nancy.
Okay, reserves are reserves, whether the emergency or not. I would not be in favor of taking any money out of our reserves right at this point because the big elephant in the room are staff salary negotiations, participants in the planning commissioners' training. I know that was one thing I've pushed for. I didn't realize it was going to cost so much. But rather than take it from the reserves, I know that when I went to the new council and mayor training, I was told, oh, there's money in the budget for that. It's budgeted. It was budgeted apparently for three of us to go. I was the only one that went. And I'm wondering if we could leverage some of those funds somehow rather than going into the reserves. So I know they need the training. If we can't do that, maybe we can get it locally. Next, the good old transit fund. I don't see taking reserves and boosting them up again. I would tend to agree with Mayor Yates on this. If they go over budget, they go over budget. They're doing a the staff is doing a survey to determine if changes can be made, how many people are really interested in using the service. I also agree with Carla when she says that we're going to probably just end up having to put this in the budget and pay more of our transit money. Now, I think that the transit fund is something we're just going to have to pull out and work with on its own. It's a whole big issue all by itself. And we need to make some decisions about how much the city can afford to pay and where we're going to get the money. I mean, it's not pretty, but I think that's what we're going to have to do. Now to the energy-saving goodies. I read this, and boy, did I get all messed up. Mr. Woods, I have some questions for you. Okay. Well, let me find your page. I've got so many markers. All right. You're reading this, and I assure you I may not know what I'm reading, but it looks like you're going to go in and change a whole bunch of light bulbs all over the city all at once. Now, do we not have a facilities budget so that if a light bulb burns out or is getting old, we change our light bulbs as we go along? I mean, I understand that it's going to be cost-effective to use these new kinds of bulbs. That I understand. But if we don't have the money to go clear through the city and put in all these bulbs at one time, I really think it should be part of a facilities budget that's an ongoing. I mean, one of the things we really need to make sure we have around here, and one of the things I've talked about throughout the campaign was a long-range capital projects budget, a facilities budget. I mean, 5 years, you know, so that we can determine what needs to be done this year, what can we afford to do next year, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road. Do we need new refrigerators? Of course we do. But do we need them today? Do we need them all at once? We don't know what the life of those are. I know we're talking about life of refrigerators versus saving energy. And believe me, I pay my utility bills too. And I know we want to save energy as much as possible. But if we don't have the money to do it, I think we just need to look at spreading this out over a longer period of time. So I'm not in favor of tapping into the reserves until we know what's going to happen next.
Who would like to go, George?
It's pretty much said right now that it looks like this council does not want to go into these reserves. And I just want to ask one question here. I like the harbor department. I know it's like it's only $7,000, but don't they have funds of their own? Why are they?
They're not. It is funds of their own.
Okay. So they're not asking for $7,000?
They're not from reserves, no.
Right.
What's being asked for from the reserves is The energy savings, the $9,000 for the police department, the $8,500 to send the planning commissioners off, $21,000 for transit,
right,
and the fire department. With the fire department and police department, I think we've got an agreement here. It's going to go Measure Q. So that'll cut, and actually the fire department's not included in that. That'll cut the $9,000 in the police department out of this. Where are you on reserves? I've stated I was okay, and we've got two that aren't. So,
well, Bill, I'm going to have to go against you on this one, and just, I'm not comfortable with the way this is laid out of all coming out of reserves like this.
And that included the majority on your spreadsheet, one of the energy efficiency program combined. So the lamps, the exit lights, and the walkway lamps, and we started all these replacements. We've already started this. This $55,000 has been granted to us. The overall comprehensive program that includes refrigerations and HVAC units brings this tally up another $100,000. And the original premise was to go after the loan. The loan would have been paid back through the savings. So every year we would say it's $10,000 for your utility bill. You'd keep paying that $10,000 even if you only use $8,000 worth, and the two, which is your savings, goes to repay the loan. So you're not dealing with the general fund. It's all the loan, and it's paid back within the savings. But in order to do that, the ARRA loan is very labor-intensive. Yeah, and that's what we came back to you with, the general fund option. It was the council's objective to go into and do all these other cost savings and the energy efficiency elements of the program. We're in favor of that. If you want to pull out, that's fine. But we realize there are savings here. There are regulations that we could go into. And there are rebates. And we're already realizing, we just realized $1,200 rebate from the PG&E program on the energy efficiency of the lamps we put in that were funded by the grant. So we're kind of double dipping there, and we're feeling that we can do the same with other elements here that are part of the rebate program. So the $55,000 is working for you. You've received rebates. If you want to continue the energy efficiency program and get into the HVACs and the refrigeration units, it's laid out here for you.
Okay, and this, I've stated my position. This would be up to you in the end. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to reflect on the comments about the unknowns in the future and the pensions and staff negotiations, labor negotiations, and that was what I was alluding to as well, amongst some other things. But I think there are some short-term unknowns in the next year that we need to be really cautious about. And so with the reserves, I, too, am very cautious about spending from there and want to avoid that at all costs until we get a little more detail about our standing with those negotiations. With fire and PD, obviously Measure Q is a great use of there to accomplish those goals. Transit, I'm in agreement. I think we need to let that stay in the general funds, increase the availability, do what we can there. But I'm also very frustrated that this trend that we've been seeing now for over a year is continuing, and I'm concerned that we're driving it into the ground and haven't really opened up the larger conversations of some alternatives, such as the Estero Bay Transit Plan that's been floated. And I'd really like to see us jump on that as soon as possible in a much more focused manner, so that we're not setting ourselves up to just keep on pouring money into this and eventually see more takeaways from the state and be without a fallback option. So that, along with the community bus program, I think needs to receive much more focus and attention, and I don't want to see us avoiding those conversations, thinking that we're going to be able to save this existing plan. Because at this point, you look at our numbers, and it's really startling, especially considering the importance of the transit for the community. With the harbor, I would prefer to avoid the reserves, so those unallocated funds work for me. Rec and Parks and the energy efficiency, I'm a big fan of the program and appreciate the work you guys have done, and do think we need to go further on. I know a lot of the refrigeration units and the HVAC are old,
need to be replaced, and we're going to receive the savings on those investments and be paid back. I just go back to, hey, at this point, for the next at least half of the year, I want to be very sensitive to use of those reserves. And I'm open to talking about working with the deferred maintenance funds, recognizing that there's going to be further payments from the sale, and I'd like to, you know, have a discussion about future contributions and allocations, especially in the case that we're going to be repaid back with those investments, such as with the energy retrofit. So I'm willing to go there. Planning commissions, training, obviously that's something that we all said is important. If there's some other money laying around, I would prefer to go there first. If, you know, very last case scenario, if this is the one place where we use some reserves, which it's nominal, I could go there. I wouldn't do it happily, but I'd prefer to bite out as much loose change as possible and then do it. Just a couple other general comments. Well, I already talked about the Estero Regional Plan. I'd like to bring that back and really focus in. And I do agree with Ms. Johnson that it's a separate issue that needs much more focus for us to do this in the past. And I found this report to be really helpful just to give us an idea about where we are. And I would really like to see a way for us to, at least with revenue for the general fund, to have this sort of a report generated quarterly, if at all possible. I know the concern is that some funds are not repaying in a consistent manner, so we could be startled by numbers because they come in at different points during the year and it might not be consistent. But for me, more information is better than less, and I would like to see a way for us to get more quarterly type reports such as this. So those are my comments.
And succinct it was.
I try my best.
Could I always promise that. Could I respond to just one of his comments, please?
You can respond to two of them if you like.
Oh, okay. Actually, it is two.
Okay.
You know, you brought up the Estero Bay Transit, and I think it was a long time ago that the council, even before some of us came on, asked that that program be looked into, and the senior center using volunteers through the senior center to help transport people. The other thing that you didn't quite mention, but another that I've heard a lot about, is moving the transit people into the senior center, into that building, and making the building they're using now available. It could bring in revenue as a rental facility, and it would actually, I think, improve the service to people who need bus rides. And the last thing is that it's February already, and it's only, what, 5 more months till June. So I believe all of this can just be postponed pretty much until then, except we have to train those planning commissioners somehow.
We got it. You're a proponent for that.
Yeah.
Estero Bay Transit Plan, as the slow cog rep, you know, every time I've been with Rhonda Carley, we've talked about this. This is in process. This is happening. Is it there? Is it time to report? No. I mean, there's negotiations going on with slow cog staff and Janine, basically, and we're trying to, you know, reach some agreements, and it's being worked on, and it's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. I would like to take this in pieces if we could. We just knock them out one or two at a time here, because there's certain things I'm kind of going to go for and certain things I'm not, and I'd rather not just vote no on everything because of that. So if we're done with comments for the moment, could I make a motion that we approve the police department funding of $9,000 come from Measure Q funds, and we approve the fire department's $38,000 for Measure Q funds?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. That was the easy one, wasn't it?
Break it down. See how easy it is?
Well, let's attack the energy one next, then. We'll just take them in order of the paper here. Somebody else make the motion, because I would move to approve this.
I'll move that we defer that to our June budget
and look at alternative sources for revenue for funding.
Second.
Discussion?
All the discussion is the deferral means that we're still very interested in the program.
Yes.
Great.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion carries 4-1. Five planning commissioners and seven staff members to attend the League of California Cities Planning Institute for the price tag of $8,500.
Two staff members.
Two. Did I say more than two?
Seven.
Yeah, it's a big group. We have 1.5 staff members per planning commission. Somebody can go for a motion on this.
I move we have Mr. Livick find the money to send these people.
Yeah, that's not
or
fair.
Find a, no, I know. Just kidding.
Yeah.
It's getting late already.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock.
It's 8 o'clock. No, I move that we find a way to make this happen.
That's not going to work
either. That's not going to work either. What do you want?
A motion.
I move that we send five planning commissioners and two staff members to League of California Cities Training Workshop Institute.
To be funded?
To be funded.
Mm-mm.
How do you want
to? So here, this is about funding this whole meeting here.
I know it is. All right. Unallocated funds.
Reserve funds.
Yes. Second for discussion.
You don't have to say it for that.
League of California Cities, but I do have those other meetings now with other leagues. So, I mean, yes, we will group those together and not use it. I mean, and the other thing is you're allocating for seven, but they might be working and not be able to take off those dates. It is possible to get it from City Council. I mean, I was just looking. There's not a lot. There's 500 there. There's 300 here. There certainly isn't, and we wouldn't have brought it forward if there was enough to cover it in all of them. But we certainly will try to take it from other conferences and meeting budgets before it comes out of reserves.
But that's the motion that I heard was take it from unallocated funds. If you want to change the motion, then change the motion. But you can say all that, but that's not the motion. So what do you guys want to do?
You wouldn't let me make the motion the other way.
Well, not just find the money, no. So you came up with a solution. You made the motion to take it out of unallocated funds,
and
a.k.a. reserves.
We seconded it.
You seconded it. If you want to change that, now's your chance. Otherwise, that's where the money's coming from.
What do you want to change it to, seconder?
Well, I would like to change it to prioritize using alternative funds from the reserve fund. So that would be within other budgets, such as the council budget, meetings, conferences, and so on, as a priority with the reserves as the backup option.
I would agree to that amendment to my motion.
All right, but we'll have to make that clear. Do you want me to do this for you?
Please.
Okay, can you withdraw your second?
I'll withdraw.
Can you withdraw your motion?
Sure.
I'm going to vote against this, but I'm just going to try and make it clean,
all right, but
clean
make it
for Bridget.
Clean
okay,
for Bridget.
I'm going to move that we fund the Public Services Department participation in the League Planning Institute, that the funding that's been direct staff to try to identify funding from various travel accounts from the community services, the city manager, the city attorney, and any other available funds for that purpose, and that the balance be taken from the general fund reserve.
Second.
Discussion.
No.
All
sounds good.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion carries 4-1. Transit fund. I think we're there. We're just going to leave this alone. What about
general fund? Is that where?
Yeah, just.
Okay. So it's going to stay general fund. Over budget.
Go ahead and make the motion.
Well, I'm asking you though.
Well, I didn't understand it that way. I understood that you guys wanted to leave it alone. And if they go over budget, then we forgive Janine in advance for doing that, but we don't allocate the funds. And I know that Janine is directed at trying to reduce this. This is her worst case scenario. She's trying to cover herself. I think I will bring back at declaration time that we have bring back the whole, or you can do it, Carla, or you, I mean, bring back this whole discussion on transit, but especially the reinstating call a ride to generate some more funds to pay for this. But in the meantime, I think we should just turn this request down.
And I agree. And, you know, in looking at the funding, too, there's over $100,000 to manage that enterprise, which, you know, is difficult to try and decipher and figure out why it's so costly for that. So, yeah, I would like to see it come back.
So then, in this case, I will move that we deny funding the transit fund an additional $21,500.
From the reserves, or just in general?
Well, we deny funding, and it doesn't matter where. We deny funding it from wherever.
Second.
Discussion.
But we do allow the expansion of the program to include riders that aren't eligible, just as a general discussion. That point's
That's I've already declared. We'll bring that back, but that's separate. But, yes, okay. That's coming back, but with a larger discussion, as has been discussed, on the whole transit thing. Any discussion on this? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0, leaving the Harbor Department, which I don't see as a problem. It's a line item change more than anything else. Do we? So let's just, I'll just move that we allocate $7,000 to cover the cost of watercraft insurance for the Harbor Department to and with the desire that it be folded into their budget, but if needed, funds can be taken from their reserves. Okay, somebody else, are you going to second it? Somebody else give it a shot then.
Second for
second
discussion.
For to amend its budget for $7,000 with the goal of folding that into their budget, but if needed, they can take it from unallocated funds. Is that what you said, unallocated funds?
Yeah.
Okay, that clear? We confusing you enough, Bridget? Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0, and I think that completes the... Say again? Yes, Sue.
Thank you, Mary Yates. There are a few little cleanup items that were also included. One of them is an adjustment to the property tax where I'm lowering it by $3,000. I'm doing an adjustment to my property tax in lieu sales where I'm raising it to $80,000, dropping the natural gas franchise by $75,000, picking up two grants, a $64,000 grant for fire and a $5,000 grant for trees. And then using $2,000 for the uninterrupted power sources, using the $64,000 for the fire grant, the $5,000 for the trees. So those items all balanced out to give me my $727 that I was going to use to offset some of the money for the reserves. I know it wasn't very much, but it was a little gift for me. And so I was hoping that we could maybe do more of an all-encompassing motion and say the other items that weren't separately discussed are approved or not approved.
Questions and our comments. Let's start with Noah this time. George? Nancy? Carla?
Make a motion.
Make it.
I move to approve all the additional changes to the mid-year budget as stated by Ms. Slayton.
I'll second it.
Thank you, George. Does that work for you, Bridget? Can you back up in your recording and pick up what she said? Okay, then No discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Are we finished now, Sue?
We are.
I'm glad. And thank you for picking up on the Harbor Department. That was a good one. Okay, D4, Kathleen.
This report is giving some options for amending parking requirements for North Morro Bay. And we'd just like to give you an overview. There has been recently a few instances where vacant buildings located in North Main Street, North Morro Bay, have had difficulty establishing new businesses. The primary issue that occurs is when establishing a new business in a vacant building is the need to provide additional parking. As you know, in December 13th meeting, the City Council Council Member Borchard requested that staff provide a report on the status of the parking in North Main Street and to come up with some options to provide modifications or amendments to city requirements. With that, we just like to express what the purpose of the parking regulations are that are contained in the zoning ordinance, and that is to minimize street congestion and traffic hazards and to provide safe and convenient access to land uses. So, as we stated, as I stated previously, when any structure is vacated, new business wants to come in and actually occupy that building, what planning staff does is review their new use to what existed there before, and if there's an intensity in the use, which then results in a demand in parking, an increase in demand in parking, that's when this new business can't occupy the building unless it has an opportunity to provide the parking that's required. So what we do is go through the options available to the person, the business owner, trying to occupy the new or that vacant space, provide them with any kind of analysis that we've done, and then give them the options, which would mean to meet the increased parking on site, meet the increasing parking demand on a site other than the site where the use is located, provide the site is within 600 feet, and a recorded indenture is provided, and that's straight code. Pay a parking in lieu fee, and that is if the subject site is within the parking management plan area, and it is determined that reasonable and practical development of the property precludes the provision of a required parking site. So what that means is you have to make a finding and allow them to pay the parking in lieu fee, or the code currently provides the option of creating a parking assessment district. We note that other cities and similar situations would maybe in a downtown area, an area where there's older buildings which were established before the current code, resulting in the fact that the on-site map of boundaries to provide the exemption, and that would be something that would be part of the amendment and eventually become codified. Define a framework for the exemption for instance, all existing buildings built before the current code was adopted, which is 1988. I realize that there's amendments to the code that have lots of years after that, but we're talking about the basic code being done in 1988. And these would be exempt from the parking section if the change in use did not result in an increase in parking demand of, say, 20% or whatever threshold that the council thought was acceptable. The framework must take into consideration the overall purpose of the regulation, which is to minimize street congestion and traffic hazards while providing a convenient, safe access to land uses. We wouldn't recommend a blanket exemption, but would favor one with adequate safeguards to ensure compliance with the overall stated purpose of the chapter. And that probably would also help to alleviate the fears that people may have that there's going to be impacts to adjacent uses which may or may not be residential up there. So if you have a defined threshold of where we're going to, what's acceptable as a threshold that wouldn't be determined to impact other residential uses, I think it would be give those other uses a little safeguard. And then the next one would be to create a parking assessment district. Staff just put a brief blurb in here about that because in this current economy, we don't think any business owner would be really, or a group of business owners or property owners would be really willing to accept an assessment district. But that is something that's provided for your consideration. And then finally, amend the parking management plan and establish a new parking in lieu district and associated fee with that particular area. The two districts, the downtown area and the Barcadero area, currently established in the city have been very viable and seem to have met the needs of those particular businesses that can't provide parking on site. I know that there's been different amounts established as far as the fees concerned with those parking in lieu, but it has always seemed to be a workable, viable option. And the advantage to this is pursuing this option is that the procedures already exist, and utilizing a procedure already in use in other areas of the city would not have the potential to create inequities or circumstances where one group of business owners think that they're being targeted for a different procedure or not being treated fairly. So with that, I just give you that brief overview, and our staff's recommendation is that you review the options and give direction to staff.
I'm going to give it to you, Carla. This is your item. Start out.
Thank you. I hope it would be all our item.
It is our item, but you know what I mean.
I appreciate that. Okay. Thank you. the reason that I asked and met with Ms. Wald on other issues and discussed this in brief was that over the past few years I've realized as different applicants have come before us to have change in use, whether they've been unsuccessful in leasing their building spaces, commercial, retail building spaces for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and then have looked at the option of trying to change to residential, we've just pretty much beaten, flogged them. That's my feeling. And then when they've tried to put businesses out there, are not able to because many of those buildings are older and then don't meet the parking requirement now. So we set them up for failure, I feel, and if we're going to encourage and or demand that those areas stay retail, commercial, light industrial, whatever the specific ones are, I feel that we need to provide some sort of support for some parking options. We have the parking, we grandfather parking in up here that's non-existent when it serves our needs. And it's either done based on square footage of the building. And we grandfather in across the street from me, there was used to be a fish processing plant, but somehow they were going to be exempted 12 or 14 spots that never even existed. Yet there's no opportunity, no options, any of that even available to those businesses in the north in a town, which I would consider blighted compared to our downtown and Embarcadero area. So I just feel that we need to do something to help them be successful through one of these options here.
I agree. I saw this as a little more of complaint-driven. We have heard from people up there, and this has been a major, major problem. So I'm for fixing this as easily as we can without having to go through a lot of code, you know. And I don't know how we do that, but maybe we can discover that tonight. But we need to ease up on the regulations for these people to be able to turn over these rentals. A parking assessment district, I don't care what the economy is, it's never going to fly in this town. It doesn't matter if things are good or things aren't so good. That's not going to happen. So I want to let everybody have a chance, but my question is going to be is, you know, how can we achieve this quickly and without having to go through so
up with brown boundaries in the North Morro Bay area for an exemption? And I think just it would be wonderful to have a parking problem in North Morro Bay. I mean, that would be a big difference in what's going on up there right now. So I would say keep it simple, and to me this looks like the simplest way to do it, but you may have another suggestion, and I'm certainly open to that.
Well, let's pose it to staff. Is this easy? I mean, can we just amend the code and it's done?
Go ahead.
And we don't have to go to Coastal Commission or, you know, or change our zoning or anything?
We would be going to Coastal Commission for this is in our contained in our zoning code, and we would be going to Coastal Commission to get their approval for this this amendment to our code. But we wouldn't be taking the entire code to Coastal Commission. We would be taking a specific amendment to Coastal Commission, much like we are going to be taking the telecom and the sign ordinance to Coastal Commission.
And have if we wanted to get on this right tomorrow, how long would this take? I mean, we've got people up there waiting and writing us letters and saying, get moving.
Okay, so if we had a definitive framework of what the council wanted us to do, we would write up a amendment to that section of the code. For instance, if we did a boundary, it would just be a text amendment. We would take it to Planning Commission, do environmental on it, take it to Planning Commission, then ultimately to City Council, then after that to Coastal Commission. So you're talking months, but you know it wouldn't if it was very lean and specific. I think that whenever you're doing a text amendment, the real problem is when it gets waylaid by a lot of, so I don't know how else to explain this, but a lot of cooks in the soup, right? And if everybody has consensus, it's going to be short and down and dirty, and we're going to just do a map, and this is what we want to do, and it's not going to get into, you know, meeting after meeting and workshop after workshop, and then I think that that's where you get waylaid. I think if you just direct staff to do something and it goes forward and we can move it through the process, that we'll get it as fast as we can possibly get it through, given the legal parameters we have to meet.
And when you say get it through environmental, what did you mean there?
Well, we would do text amendments aren't exempt from CEQA, so we'd have to do an initial study, and we would be looking for impacts for, you know, what the parking may or may not create as far as environmental impacts. But we would draft this exemption in such a way as to minimize the potential for any kinds of environmental. In other words, we're not creating a blanket exemption. We're going to be creating one that just deals with existing buildings within a certain, you know, boundary where there is no potential for on-site parking. I mean, you know, we're not going to let people who have the potential to put parking in. I assume, maybe I'm jumping the gun, but that's not how I perceived this task I was given. It was to look at the areas where, like, say, Spencer's has a huge parking lot, so they would not qualify. You're looking for somebody who is site constrained, cannot provide it, wants to be able to put those uses that are allowed by right or through a use permit in their zone district on that site, that we will make a finding that says it cannot create impacts to the surrounding neighbors. So you're talking about somebody who may or may not be able to even, there was one up on North Main Street that we did earlier this year or maybe last year where the person couldn't even provide one parking space. So there wasn't any options for them. So we're not talking about a deficit of 10 or 20. We're talking about these folks not being able to do 1, 2, 3, or 4, you know. So I think that would be very minimal as far as environmental impacts are created. So it should, our concerns. So you're going to do an initial study, and it's going to get routed. But there's not a high potential for there to be issues. It's not associated with any kind of improvements.
We heard from a citizen tonight who I mean, I can see potential problems
right
on the road. Anyway, let's make sure we're not wasting time here. We've headed down the right road here. Everybody cool with that? Okay.
I do agree that this is an important thing. One thing that I've been concerned about is that we've lost some of the commercial in that district, and I see this as a move that would help further strengthen commercial and hopefully a revitalization there. And it is a special district that has a lot of exciting opportunity for the city if we're vibrant there, especially because of the frontage. So I'm in favor of moving forward with this, and those first two points and what you just reviewed are good, because we definitely need to make sure we don't implement something that then creates a major backlash from the surrounding neighborhood and we find ourselves backpedaling in a very uncomfortable way. The only thing that I thought might be beneficial to include is an element that recognizes bike parking and alternative transportation as an element that business as well, thus offsetting further the need for parking.
Okay, so
could I interrupt?
Oh, sure.
Allow me. I'm going to suggest that we're getting bogged down in minutiae here, that we're putting the cart before the horse, that, you know, let's start down the road. As she just explained, it's got to go through Planning Commission, it's got to come back to us, it's got to go through a whole bunch of stuff. And
okay, I guess the offset component is really what I wanted to get across. So that's my comments.
George, over here.
I thank you, Mary Yates. I like the idea of including the option of reduction with the bike parking and things, but I think just to address the concerns by the speaker tonight were that, you know, this was going to work for new projects, and it's not.
Yeah.
And so this is for existing buildings within there, so the boundaries of what they have, it's to help them be successful. And I think that some of the issues you're raising in regards to neighborhood businesses or this or that are already going to be covered in the zoning that's for those areas specific. So I think they'll be addressed in a generalization anyway.
So I'm going to suggest that somebody consider making a motion to create a specific map in North Morro Bay for an exemption to Section 17.44.020.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
Do we need to make comment for existing businesses or facilities only, or any more clarification for you?
I think we hear you.
Great.
Yeah, for existing buildings.
Bright staff we've got. Listen in. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Good luck. Here you go. Another.
And I just would like to thank Ms. Wald for her help on this. She really has brought these options to us from other areas.
Okay. Let's take another 10-minute break, and we'll come back, and we'll finish up.
Hello. My tree.
Yeah.
Big bus store guy? I didn't know public comment.
I know that. I'm just
going to watch more.
I wish there was.
Audience? D5. Rob. Robert.
Good evening. This is another item, just like your last, on taking a look at whether you want us to move forward with preparing a ordinance that deals with big box stores and the size of them and the appearance of them. It was being brought back to you at council's direction. Basically, a big box ordinance regulates the size and appearance of a big box stores and the amount of non-taxable items the store is permitted to sell, non-taxable or grocery items. You know, while the development of big boxes businesses may provide an economical and time-saving convenience to shoppers, there's been many studies done that big box stores can have a potential negative community impact with urban blight, lower employee wages, the reduction of smaller local businesses, and changes to the aesthetics of neighborhoods. I was actually as your city attorney for about a year when this issue was brought up in 1998, the fall of 1998, and we looked at this issue at that time, and I've provided you as an attachment that staff report, but at that time no further action was taken by the city council, and we've never developed a big box ordinance. I provided you in the staff report, you know, at length, and I won't go in that much, but, you know, the cities that do have it, or Paso Robles has it, Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, and Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and Morro Bay do not. You basically, you know, have many options you can do, and that's what we wanted to discuss on whether the first step, kind of like the last one we talked about parking, is this something you want staff to pursue and bring through the ordinance procedure on developing it? And if you do, then I've got questions for you. So the first one is, do you want us to regulate this? Yes or no? And if you do, then you know, what, is there a certain size limit you want us to look at? 60,000, 90,000, like San Luis Obispo, it's 140,000. They're not allowed to have more than. Currently, I don't see it as an issue for Morro Bay, though. I really see there's two sites in Morro Bay that this could come up, and that's the Spencer's site. And then the Tri-W site. I've tried to think of other sites where a big box could come in, and I don't know them, but maybe you can, you know, talk amongst yourselves and figure out there could be other sites. And the other thing with this type of situation is, if in fact, let's say we found out tomorrow.
You asked at the beginning last time, Mary Yates, is does this require coastal and all those things? And so, what is it, the same similar process as looking at the North Main parking?
Yes, it might be just a little bit more complicated than that. You know, we're hoping to do the parking exception as just a map and very, you know, maybe a paragraph 2, 3, and trying to keep that as as short and concise as possible so that when it goes to Coastal Commission, it can be called what's a de minimis amendment and can be very small. This ordinance is a standalone ordinance, kind of like our wireless communications, and so could it be 3, 4, 5, 6 pages? It might be. And if that's the case, then it'll take a little bit longer at the Coastal Commission level for them to do their review. So you do have to go through the same environmental review, same process, ordinance-wise, but the ordinance in the other cities are a little bit longer and go into a little bit more detail and would require that process maybe to take a little bit longer.
I guess I didn't really look at the option of a moratorium originally, you know, an emergency moratorium, which is what we did with the telecommunications and some of the other things, the dispensary and stuff like that. The reason that this came up originally and was put on the planning track was when we were discussing redevelopment and the concerns that if we're going to head back at some point to a discussion of redevelopment as an opportunity in Morro Bay, that there be a safeguard in place to regulate the percentage of non-taxable items that a large box store type business, Kmart, Walmart, Target, whomever, would come in, so that it wouldn't, they usually come into areas during redevelopment opportunities for the tax benefits. And I was looking to put something on the books so that we wouldn't see that create blight from our existing mom and pop businesses that would be put out. And so for me, if at some point we're going to head back down a conversation of redevelopment, I would want to make sure that we had some safeguards in place to protect those independent businesses, the independent grocery stores, the pharmacies like the new one that just opened, the tire shops, the other businesses that would most likely be put out of business by a box store.
So how would you perceive proceeding here? I mean, do we want to...
Well, I'm amenable to, you know, maybe what and interested in what the other council members say. I like the one that's of all the ordinances, and I know that understanding that it would have to go to Coastal and all the things here, I think part of it is not reinventing the wheel in that there are ordinances that the city attorney laid out that we can use as a mm-hmm. platelet, and I like the way San Luis does theirs where it's limited but has allows for an increase in square footage based on what it benefits the community. So there's flexibility, but I think if you don't have to reinvent that part, I appreciate that, and I'm open to what everyone else wants to do.
And I guess my question is, do you want, is it your desire to start down the road of implementing this ordinance or postponing it?
Well, I guess my question would be, at some point, is it the desire of this council sitting here the next 2 years to discuss redevelopment? And so that would answer my question of yes or no.
Can we do that, Rob?
No.
No. Sorry. I wish we could. You know, to clear that up for you.
But I certainly think that the topic of redevelopment could come up at your goals and priorities, and maybe the way to handle this is just to put that on that list that comes up next month and see where that redevelopment comes up and where this comes up on your planning guide that we'll bring forward to you, if that's acceptable. Because I think Rob's going to say have a few, you know, with parking exception now and seeing the direction was to really move that forward, he's got to shuffle some priorities around, and I think that's supposed to come to you next month to take a look at. And so you could do that, is put this on the list if there's and then see, and if it's at the very bottom, it could take a while, or it could go higher if there's redevelopment that's.
I'm going to suggest we keep this on the planning tracking sheet, and I acknowledge it's been there for a long time, but we won't lose sight of it. And we go through this process here over the next 60 days and invite you to keep bringing it up. And I don't think we should take action on this tonight. That's my sense. But I will not, I'll make the commitment to you that I will not let this die or get put off in a sheet never to be revisited again. That's my feeling. Nancy?
I would agree. I think we probably have enough to do right now. And since it's so closely tied to redevelopment, which we can't talk about tonight, I think when we do talk about that subject, we need to make sure...
Brought forward. Well, I'm sensing a consensus here, and I've made a commitment to you, and so there's no action to be taken in this. D6, Rob Livick.
Good evening. This item is in regards to the Joint Planning Commission meeting that we're going to be holding on February the 22nd prior to the regular City Council meeting. The Planning Commission did hold a meeting last night, and along with the topics that are in the staff report, the commissioners brought up several other items that I reported, that I stated in the staff report that I would bring up here at this meeting. They include to discuss the all the resolutions that are on the books that may have some effect with the Planning Commission. Discuss the bylaws that the Planning Commission operates under, and perhaps revisions to those bylaws. Discuss Chapter 2.28, the PC, Planning Commission Roles and Responsibilities, that section in the Municipal Code. There was a call for one of the items that's already on the list to take a look at downtown visioning, and one of the commissioners asked that the City Council provide written direction to the Planning Commission. Downtown revitalization came up a couple more times by other planning commissioners, and a planning commissioner emphasized again getting some direction from this City Council on the direction that the Planning Commission should take. And with that, that concludes my staff presentation, and leave it up to your council to decide which topics are important to you.
Okay, with the indulgence of council, I'll go first here. Well, how long is this joint meeting going to be?
It's the hour prior to the regular City Council, so you don't have a lot of time to for a lot of topics.
Yeah, we have a problem with time here. I mean, going through all the resolutions alone would take longer than an hour. You know, going through the bylaws, the roles and responsibilities. I think maybe roles and responsibilities and bylaws I'll declare next. And declare that we bring those back and take a look at it. Planning Commission direction, I mean, that's, I assume that what they're asking for is direction on how they should be operating, right?
I believe that's what the Planning Commission was looking for, is some philosophical direction on how they should be operating.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the whole hour being spent on that. and that would be my preference of discussion. And how do you view all resolutions and what that request was about?
Me too.
Good night, Craig. Thanks for staying so long.
I talked briefly with them afterwards a little bit that made that request, and I think he's looking kind of like the binder that we did do just recently, that we can provide them of all the more recent resolutions passed by council related to business friendly and other ones, no construction during certain hours. I don't think anything in there really is going to direct Planning Commission per se. But they wanted some of those more policy resolutions that were passed. And we had put that binder together, I think, the end of last year, so we can provide them with that binder, and they'll have that. And so that, I told them that would be easy to do. I did volunteer my services if it comes out of that. It's what I did last year with the Promotions Committee when they were having this little bit – you know, how are we different from the tourism bid, is I did meet with the T-bid early in the morning, 7:30 till 9, for about 2 or 3 months for them to go over their bylaws and provide with revised bylaws that council tweaked and went over, and then they got it accepted. I did offer that to the Planning Commission, if that's something that council, after that meeting on the 22nd, wants to do, is to try to bring back that, like you said, the bylaws and ordinances with changes that need to be made, because it does need to be done. I mean,
for their next meeting.
That's happening. That's in progress. Is that a correct assessment, Rob?
That's correct.
Planning workload, I assume they're talking about your department, right?
Yes.
And I think it's always fair to keep them and us apprised of where you're at and what your priorities are and what you're working on. And, you know, it seemed to me that the planning commissioners should be in and out of your department once a week or so, and they should be kind of aware of that. But do you do any written reports now?
Yes, we do. We every planning commission, we provide them with our project tracking sheet, which includes every project that we're working on, plus projects that have had final action on, so that they can see what's been approved. So they know what our administrative workload is and what their potential hearing workload is that's coming up.
Of course they do. So what are they asking for?
You know, this was came from a prior planning commission that we're carrying along here. I think I'm not sure what they were requesting at this point in time.
All right, I'm just going to cross it out for the moment, because it does seem like you cover that every single planning commission meeting. So let's go back up then to chain link fences. And then you have visual resources and LCP consistency. Can you explain how those tie together?
That came out of a public hearing for a project down on the Embarcadero, where there was some discussion over whether chain link fences are appropriate as demarcation, and whether they fit the goals of our LCP and maybe a impact of visual resources.
And do they is there something wrong with chain link fences in our LCP?
No, I don't believe so.
Is this something that council wants to pursue?
I don't want to talk about it, thank you.
Okay.
At all.
Carla?
No, if it's something they want to talk about and send us at some point, then...
You have any interest in chain link fences? Yeah, so we're going to... That brings us to downtown revitalization, which, as I recall watching your council, it was kind of put on a shelf.
For lack of funding.
Lack of funding, and to get some more clarification about where we were with the Coastal Commission on the overall plan.
I mean, is this something we want to pursue now?
Well, the feeling was we couldn't do that, work on a downtown revitalization, until we could work on amending our general plan and our LCP, which is why we pulled it back. And then we broke out the little things, so that's why that's been on hold.
So that's just on hold. Is that how you understand it, and are you too okay with that?
Well, I think it has to be until we get the zoning ordinance and LCP back or worked out. Or I know I talked to Mr. Livick about this a little bit today, but I think that's probably at the top of our list of things. I don't know that we need to talk about it to any extent with the Planning Commission, but I think it's something that we all need to be aware of that has to be done before we move on.
Well, they brought it up both in his notes in the last meeting from, when was that, last night?
LCP.
Yes, it was.
It seemed so
just
recent.
A few hours ago.
Yeah. And I watched the whole meeting.
But we don't have one.
Yeah, so I'm going to, with council's approval, I'm going to strike that for now as far as the meeting with the Planning Commission goes, and just there's nothing we can really do on that now.
I think it might be worthwhile to touch briefly on the strategic plan and the process with the general plan and the LCP mentioning how it relates to the downtown revitalization plan. So we're recognizing it. We don't have to really get down into the details of it, but updating the new planning commissioners on that process and the new council members and briefly talking about it would be, I think, beneficial.
Okay.
And letting them know why we don't have a current LCP and zoning ordinances.
Let's put Rob on the spot.
Let Rob do that.
Yeah, we'll
for
blame
us.
Him. It's all your fault, Rob.
Right.
All right, let's just ask the question, where do we stand with our general plan? I mean, that's not really being worked on. I mean, let's be honest, right?
No, it's not being worked on. It was
internally. It's been a little bit. We've done a. My assistant has been doing a cross check and red line version of between the 2004 and 2008 versions. But I do need to. We do need to bring that back as a full discussion with council to see where we allocate the resources to take that and get it in a work product that could be presented back.
I had voice here if we can. I have said everything till I'm blue in my face about how I would like to see the Planning Commission operate. I'm happy to regurgitate it here, but I could spare you also. So let's get...
just for clarification, the bylaws... the resolutions and the municipal code relating to them, you'll do the whole thing, all the things they ask for, all inclusive in that?
Yes, and I also have a state planners commission handbook that I can make copies of that we can give them also that I mentioned last night.
I guess for me, in regards to that one issue then, strictly, I would prefer to... delay it till after they've attended their training workshops and have had an opportunity to see what the guidelines as presented through that process are as far as what their job is through a workshop, through a training program.
Well, we do have this joint meeting coming up, and there are strong feelings, at least from your mayor, about how they operate that I would like to espouse. But I don't want to espouse them if I've got four people not with me. That's why I said I think we need, you know, some kind of a united voice here, that the council is directing them. This is how we want you to operate.
But
I don't see that can wait till after their training.
I think...
After. Go ahead.
They're going to have these notebooks, hopefully, before the 22nd. And I think we want to tell them, read the notebook, follow the directions, go to the training, you know, follow the bylaws and the roles and responsibilities as outlined in this little notebook they're going to get. One little bit of encouragement I saw the other night while I was watching was that Jamie apologized for his previous behavior. I think maybe he's acknowledging that he was kind of beating up on staff. So maybe that one thing is better. But, I mean, I think we need to say to them, you've got a job to do, you serve at the will of the city council, follow the rules as outlined in your notebook. Don't pick on people.
There are these gray areas as the laws, and it's just the nature of everything. I think a good example would be design review board, and certain planning commissioners view on that they are a design review board, and you know, the only place that I'm aware of that there is design guidelines is in the waterfront master plan, where it says that they should follow a waterfront type of theme down there. And to me, that does not get into what kind of roof they have or what kind of fence they have or what kind of light fixture they have. It's a general theme. And the problem that the Planning Commission has had, in my view, recently, and I say recently, the past couple of years, is that they, I might have used this term once before, nitpick projects to death with the minutiae, with the little things like what kind of roof, shingle versus metal kind of thing.
where to put your water heater.
Yeah, they have.
Where to put a chair. Maybe as the mayor, you need to specifically specify those things. You know, you are not an architectural review committee. You know, you've got these guidelines. You're supposed to do it. Anything that goes to the Planning Commission is going to be a gray area. That's just the nature of the Planning Commission. If it fits inside the box, it gets done administratively. If they need an exception or anything, if it's out of the ordinary, it goes to the Planning Commission. So there's a certain bit of discussion that has to go on, but there's a fine line, I think, between discussing a plan and nitpicking on it, and they need to understand that.
You know, with me, it's how an applicant is treated, and what I'm talking about is what kind of stress. I mean, we do it too. I mean, does the Planning Commission put on an applicant? The way I see it is that an applicant has come in to Rob's staff and said, I want to build this project, and they send him back, and he goes out and he revises, and he comes back and they negotiate, and there's hours and hours and tens of thousands of dollars. And finally, it gets to the point where our staff and the applicant agree. I don't know that anybody's happy in the end because these are negotiations. The applicant has given up. The city's given up. Okay, but the city is happy and can recommend it, and here it is, Planning Commission. And I feel people after, and they're upset, and nobody should be upset at the end of a Planning Commission meeting. And I don't think that trying to build a building. So anyway, go ahead.
No, I agree. And I think, for example, asking for photo simulations, that goes back to the rules and bylaws. And that's not one of the things that they're supposed to be able to do. It's just like we had a planning commissioner a few years ago who felt that everybody should come with a three-dimensional plan of what they wanted their project to look like. You know what that costs? I mean, it's ridiculous. Yet you have to be able to look at, is this variance or exception something that will be of value to the person who's doing it and to the community at large? And that requires discussion. But as I said before, I think you want to be sure you don't get down to nitpicking how they're doing it. You know, do they need another 5 feet for their driveway, or do we need to give up the 5 feet for their driveway because of the style and the design that they've come up with? You know, these are the kinds of things that the Planning Commission wrestles with. And to a degree, they need to be able to look at these things, but not be overbearing to the people who are asking. For example, if it's in an area where you can let them have a little bit shorter driveway, just for an example, and it's not going to impact the rest of the neighborhood, fine, then you need to go ahead and do that. If it's in a place where the streets are narrow and the parking's already impacted and a shorter driveway is going to be a real problem for the whole neighborhood, then you have to deny their exception or their variance. So, I mean, these are the things that the Planning Commission has to be able to discuss and work out.
We have a Planning Commission for a reason. I'm not suggesting that we have a Planning Commission that just, I mean, our cardboard cutouts up here, and people get up, and there's a show that goes right. on, and of course they
Agreed.
Have to do that. They can do that in a way that doesn't offend people or upset people, and, you know, I don't have to tell you, I've seen it over and over.
You're right.
So if it's okay with you guys, I'm willing to make my statement on behalf of the council, not that you all have to agree with me, and you're certainly not going to agree with every little thing I have to say, but I mean, I will be the guy to basically say what we're talking about here and what I believe this council, and I will couch my words carefully, you know, expects from the Planning Commission. I know there's at least one Planning Commissioner who doesn't agree with a lot of what I'm saying now and what I would say. We will have to get through that, hopefully. But I need your blessings for this, or just give me a suggestion on another way to handle it.
I can understand what you're saying, and I do agree with it. I'm not looking to stifle their opportunities to, I guess, disagree with the applicant. And I hear you, and I agree that people have come in with their hat in their hand begging permission and walk away feeling beat up. And, you know, if it was as simple as staff doing all the work and them just gliding right through, we wouldn't even need a planning commission. We would just have staff do it. So they do have to serve the purpose of being objective, subjective, whatever, you know, and they're not always going to have the applicant walk away happy. I've walked away from the planning commission not happy, but the other person was. So, you know, it's not always that simple. I hear what you're saying, and I respect it, and I understand it. It's just how you're going to state that.
Well, I've stated very carefully. I've already said I will couch my words very carefully. I just want them to have an appreciation for the process that has happened by the time it hits them. And so I would state it there. But I, believe me, I will walk on eggshells on this whole thing. I don't want to offend them. So if we're okay in this, then you can all, you're all welcome to speak, of course. Are we okay on me doing this?
Well, I strongly agree with Ms. Borchardt. I want to make sure that this isn't us dictating to them a specific style or method of discussion that is removing the opportunity for diverse opinions and to make sure that they realize that. And I'd like to base it mostly on this packet that Mr. Schultz is going to be putting together, highlighting the elements in there, and then referring to the planning workshop and conference that they're going to be attending. So you're probably going to make your statements, but I...
They're stepping over the bounds, in my view, in what I believe Morro Bay's community's view is. When they start talking about the roof surface, they're stepping over their boundaries. When they start talking about the chair should be here, it shouldn't be here, they're stepping over their boundaries. I don't know any other way to, I mean, I will put it gentler, but I'm still going to say the same thing. So that's what I'm talking about, and that's where I'm coming from. But I don't want to stifle their conversation, and of course they have a function, and an important function. But we could beat this up all night.
I just wanted to say, I think your comments on behavior are not negotiable. They have to behave in a professional manner that's polite and respectful to staff and to the people who've come. And that's just, I mean, that's a bottom line. I mean, you can say that any way you want. As far as I'm concerned, it just has to be. But again, I think, you know, I tend to agree with Noah that a lot of this stuff on responsibilities and all of that is going to be in this wonderful book that Mr. Schultz is going to put together. And then when they get their training, they're really going to understand. But we expect them to behave in a professional, kind manner to other people, whether it's staff or whether it's the applicant. So we probably beat that one to death. Are we going to talk any more about the planning work program list?
No, I think we've covered everything that's on.
I have no will.
Excuse me, did we miss something?
A couple of things.
Well, please enlighten us.
Number one, at the top of this list, it still says neighborhood compatibility standards, and I'd like to see that erased.
Oh, we're on the planning schedule now.
The advanced planning work program, which is the direction we're giving
them. Is this the appropriate time for this, Rob?
I mean, things that we're going to talk to them about, not talk about this. But no, take it off their list.
I think that is a better subject, because that's in a staff level. That has nothing to do with, it might be on that planning list, but it's not between planning commission and planning staff. It's between planning staff and council. So that would be better appropriated at your goals and priorities in March.
Okay.
And it could be removed, or it could be wherever you want to place it at that time. And Rob might weigh in if,
so
in fact, something's coming.
Now?
Is something coming back to planning commission on that?
No, that probably is just lingering by error, and because we've already had this discussion at the city council level to actually remove that from the work plan.
Okay, can we talk about granny units that night and how they're structured?
No. Can we, Rob?
If it's how our granny unit ordinance, that, I mean, again, that's something for council to discuss. If it's an interpretation that you want to discuss with them, that would be something, you know, if it's a specific way that they're interpreting it incorrectly, then that could be. If it's a change you want to make to it.
Well, let's find out how they're interpreting it. Could we ask them?
I would feel that they were putting, especially only, the new guys, right on the spot.
I'm not sure they would even know it. Yeah, it is a...
Okay.
And in an hour's time, I don't know if we would give you enough time to go into that issue.
Okay.
But if that is a concern of yours, I would support you in bringing that back to council and declaring it on the next item, and we'll bring it back and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Support that.
Let's do it that way then.
Okay. Anything else, Nancy?
We don't need to put the sign ordinance on our discussion because that's happening.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in downtown revitalization. Is going to wait.
Yeah, and Rob's going to address
LCP,
that.
And he's going to give us that.
He's going to give them
should
that.
Should be a nice short meeting then. Good.
It's going to take about an hour.
Well, yeah, but...
but we could take all day with them.
Oh,
I mean,
of course.
If we didn't get this... I think this has been very fruitful, getting organized on this. Anything on this end? Anything over here?
Well, I just want to say, this seems like we've had this meeting before. Sounds like same things we've said not long ago, and here we're beating it to death again.
I've said it so many times, it's going to roll off my tongue when we get there.
Okay, but now my understanding, Bill, you're going to kind of be the spokesman for this meeting at the OK Corral here?
On the subject of direction, you know, or what we expect from them, and you know what I'm going to say, and I think everybody's worried that I'm going to be disrespectful or say things too strongly. I will be very careful. You can kick me, you know, if I, or you can kick her to kick me, or whatever it works. So if we're cool with that, yes, you have something?
I have a goal-setting workshop, and that's why I didn't know.
Yeah,
I couldn't kick him this far away.
and I understood it is coming back, though, just as a council item so that we could get, I mean, I think it is important for staff to know it's a new council priorities on what is there and on that list from last year and if there's any changes to it, but not to do it with the facilitator and the two-day thing.
Right.
May I ask one more question?
Is that okay with you? Go ahead, Nancy.
I would just, for clarification, like to ask Mr. Leivick what we do have left on our list for our joint meeting.
Well, I think what I have is I'm going to give a brief update on the status of the LCP, general plan, how the zoning ordinance fits into that update, and how the downtown revitalization, when that comes along, how that would fit into this whole process. Then I think that Planning Commission roles and responsibilities was going to take up the majority of the hour with your discussion with them on how their behavior should be handled, and what the council's expectations of the Planning Commission is.
Yeah, you were also going to make a statement that you've asked for all resolutions, bylaws, roles, and responsibilities. Those have been provided to you.
Yes.
So you can add that in.
I think it would be important to have a brief overview of that binder presented so we're all there at the same time, and it's pretty obvious.
So we know what it says.
2 minutes? You're going to go through all those resolutions? My resolutions alone would take more than 2 minutes.
No, I would just go over very quickly what's in the binder and point out that the resources that are available. I did that a little bit last night.
I think that's a great thing that they asked for, and I think that's important that they do go through that and see that stuff. Chain link fences, you will make a statement that the council has discussed that and is not interested in...
Yes.
And, and the planning workload you would have even, well, this is, if that's an old one, let's just, you don't even have to address it. But if you feel moved to address it, say that you address that at the top of every meeting.
Okay.
And that concludes this item. Then we're at declaration of future agenda items. Noah?
Yeah, I would like to talk about a budget workshop as a future agenda item for the upcoming budget, focused on priorities and some of the key elements to the budget to give staff direction before they start developing the budget, so that we give them as much forewarning about our key priorities and they can do it efficiently and not feel like we get to the budget session like we've done the last couple of years and we're hammering them on things that they weren't expecting. And I guess the agenda item would be that it would be a discussion about how that workshop could be organized and formatted.
Yeah, my only concern is loading staff up with a report on the budget. I mean, so we don't create a Chinese fire drill here, excuse me for saying it that way. So we don't be spinning our wheels and making staff do a big budget report only to be followed, 6 weeks later by another big budget report. It's just the workload that's concerning me on this. However, you declared it.
Yeah, and I'm not thinking we're looking at a preliminary budget. It's more about what sort of philosophies and priorities do we have as the new council going into the budget session, so staff can take those concepts in mind as the budget's developed for our preliminary review.
I'm thinking to just roll that into our big goals session. But it is, we could make a goals and budget. I mean, that's, I don't know if we're not mixing apples and oranges.
Last year, I believe, was the first year, or maybe it was the year, but we separated. We did a separate pre-budget workshop type thing because of the concerns that they were bringing the budget here, it is already set, and then they were having to go back because we were wanting community
input. I can see the wisdom in it. I would prefer to do it at a regular council meeting, but just
we
because
we public comment for it, so that
we can make a public hearing. Sure.
And I think just cautious about rolling it into our other discussion about workload to make sure that it's not just
I see them as they don't mix really that well. So let's see if we've got support for this to begin with. We got one there, two. Let me feed back to you here within a week, but I mean, I'm sensing if you're okay with it, we'll make it as part of a regular meeting, but we'll allow an hour or better, 4 hour and a half.
It's all
concept. I'm doing the training. I'm almost done. I'm down to. She did hers.
Okay. Ms. Slayton's no longer here, but we talked about the quarterly revenue reports for the general fund. Is that a discussion that we need to have, or Ms. Slayton seemed somewhat open to that? I guess we could put that into our budget discussion in that item when it comes back in.
I would invite you to bring it up at that time. I'm all for it if you can just punch a button and get a report out. I'm not all for it if it's going to take 10 hours of staff time.
It's the same report she generates with department heads every month.
Yeah. I don't know that we just can't make that happen right. We can't make it happen right now.
Well, not right now, but that's what I want to check. If it's easy enough to do it outside of a meeting to
let's
get
bring
that
back
in.
As a separate item, and if we get council support, we can just make that happen. Yes, Rob?
I'm not the city manager, so I'm going to speak that I think, though. But, I mean, the only thing is how much paper it is and whether you want to do that. But those budget reports, I believe, are available for at any time you want to come in and just say she'd put it in your box and you'd have it that way instead of having it as an agenda item. And
let's go look
at it. The way I'd even like to have it is just on a consent calendar quarterly, and we wouldn't even need to print it out. We could access it online. The public could as well. And it'd be there and available for those that wanted to dig into it.
Well, putting it online is now more staff time. So maybe you do need it as an agenda item to make sure that they're both here and understand, what task would be undertaken.
Okay. Well, I guess if we're going to have it as part of a council meeting on the agenda, it's going to go online anyway, so I wonder why
Well, we've already actually given direction for that item specifically a year or two ago that she agreed to bring back quarterly, and then it's just kind of fallen by the wayside, I think. So we probably just need to readdress it.
Let's just bring that back. Oh, let's see if we've got support for it. Oh, I'll support it. We'll just bring it back.
Okay. All right. And the last thing was the transit. I
got that one. Go ahead.
Think we need to follow up on that discussion and really make sure that it happens with focus and with speed. So I would like all those different items and elements that we discussed tonight to come back as soon as possible so we can initiate some important adjustments as we see fit.
And I'd ask you to add to that to include the Colorado expansion concept that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I'll support that. You got
so
a third on this?
Yeah, kind of okay. A strategic
We've got a third on this one. See if we can get staff to do it. I'll watch it, Noah, and we'll get it here fast.
Great. That was it for me.
Is that all? George?
I think we've got enough. Yes, enough on the agenda coming up.
I went 2 for 3.
Yeah, you did good.
2 for 3.
You and Carla. I mean, me and Carla.
Yeah, and that one will include how we're going to pay for transit, right?
No, we don't talk about money when we talk about transit.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Okay.
No problem.
My granny units, can we bring that back?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
See if we have support here. You know, anybody over here?
I'd probably be interested in hearing it to send to planning.
I'd rather we have a discussion here than make staff do a report on granny units. I mean, you can see their faces there. I'm like, oh my God, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, if it's a future agenda item, at least my intention would be just to bring back the ordinance of what our current regulations are and see what you want to make any changes to it.
See what we have and
keep it simple.
Because I don't think our new planning commission, even our older planning commission members, know much about it or how it works.
Okay.
We haven't talked about it in a long time.
We will bring it back and talk about it. Carla? Nothing. Well, I'll support it. Rob's going to bring his report back, and that blesses Rob. Anything else from over here? Anything from staff? We are adjourned. Thank you for those of you who stayed till the very end.
How'd we do?
Oh,
we'll see you later. I'm 4:10.
11. I can get up early tomorrow.
You bought into that market. Yeah.
I have meetings.
Oh, well, you know what?
I know how the guy is. He's just going to keep on.
Let him.
But Bill, you know what? The other night when he wanted to speak was, for starters, if it was going to have been public comment,
it was after the vote.
We would have had the staff report. He would have come up and done public comment, and then we debated and discussed afterwards. So he,
right.
How was he going to make comments on that?
No, but he brought it up.